Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Yes, he does, because maybe he is not telling himself the truth. He hears that call of his youth. But here we talk about the wonderful, successful aspect of aging. This is Adrienne Berg, this is Generation Bold, and this is the Fountain of Truth about Aging. And so far it's been confirmed that we are the only nationally syndicated radio show dealing with aging in all of its aspects. And if you don't know, one of the most important parts of your aging is your heart. And we want to keep it youthified. And this is, February is National Heart Healthy Month. So we have a couple of guests today, apropos of that celebration of our heart. The second guest you could expect. And, of course, he's one of the leading cardiologists in the country, and he's going to be talking to us about what to eat, how to protect our heart, and so on. But the first guest, that you might not be so intuitive about, Dr. Harriet Lerner, and she is an expert in the field of apologizing, anger, what you keep in, what you don't let out, which also affects our heart. Dr. Lerner is one of the nation's most respected relationship experts. In other words, the affairs of the heart. And a wonderful lecturer, consultant, a psychotherapist, and the author of many, many books. But we're going to be talking about why won't you apologize? And during the break, I promised her during our pre-interview that I was going to tell her, start the whole thing off, with the best apology I ever heard. And I'm going to do that right now, and then we're going to delve into how you should be able to apologize and how that will lift your heart. A little boy, 4 years old. Now, I don't know any little four-year-old boys that aren't cute. But this one's adorable, and he looks like a little accountant. And his mother dresses him that way. And we were all cooking in the kitchen. And he made a mess, a terrible mess. And he continued to make a mess, and he kept throwing food around the room. And he got himself a timeout. About 20 minutes later, he came back down the steps all by himself. And he took a little spoon, and he banged it on the table, so he got our attention. And this was his apology. He looked at each one directly, and he said, "I'm sorry for my disruptive behavior." Of course, everybody fell into a heap. A heap of laughing, and that was the end of his timeout. What do you think of that, Dr. Lerner?
Well, he sounds quite precocious, and that's a really wonderful apology story. We hope he holds on to that when he's a grown man.
I sure hope that he does. Many times I've used it. I am sorry, and I apologize for my disruptive behavior. But you also say in your book, Why Won't You Apologize, that there are ways to ruin an apology. How can we ruin an apology?
Well, it's quite simple to ruin an apology since we're wired for defensiveness. So, for example, the most common way that we ruin an apology is with the word but. We say, "I'm sorry I yelled at you, but you really provoked me." Or, "I'm sorry that I forgot your birthday, but I was snowed under with work." The word but almost always signifies a rationalization, an excuse, a criticism of the other person. And it doesn't matter if what you say after the but is true. The but makes the apology false. So the first thing I would say is get your but out of your apology. And then there are other, you know, other subtle ways that we ruin an apology.
You know, you did say we're wired for defensiveness. So is that why it's so hard to apologize? Is it because we don't want to admit that we're wrong, or is there other reasons?
It's easy to apologize for all of us for certain things. For example, if we spill red wine on our friend's carpet, we automatically are good. You know, we want to say, I'm so sorry, and offer to pay the cleaning bill if there is one. But some apologies are very, very difficult. Like if someone is confronting us in an angry way and they want the apology and we don't quite agree and they're not seeing their part in it, and then we automatically listen defensively. We listen for the inaccuracies, the distortions, things that we can correct. And that is defensive listening. And it's very difficult for people when we're under attack to really put aside the defensiveness and listen for the part that we can agree with, even if it's 2%, to listen for the essence of what the hurt party is trying to tell us. No apology really has meaning if we can't listen carefully to the hurt party's anger and pain. Because as we all know, it's not the words, I'm sorry, that heal the disconnection. You know, unless it's making, you know, the four-year-old making a mess.
Right, of course.
What the hurt party really wants is for us to get it, you know, to be able to say, I get it. Your feelings make sense. I was wrong. I am so sorry, and I won't do that again. And that kind of real apology takes listening, which is not a very sexy subject, by the way, you know, improving your listening skills.
Yeah, it sure isn't, except that I work a great deal in sales, and what we talk about a lot more is listening rather than talking. I want to unpack what you just said. So let's take that exact situation where somebody is yelling at you. They are angry. You are defensive. But you're listening. You're doing what Dr. Lerner says. You've read the book, and you're listening. And you find a couple of tidbits in there that you can agree with. But the rest you don't agree with. Is it authentic? Is it genuine? Is it helpful to apologize for the things that you agree with? Not say, but the rest I don't agree with. But just that, will it make an impact?
I think part of the problem is that we feel we have to do everything in one conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for thinking in terms of two conversations. And in the first conversation we're being confronted, we can have the intention that we will only listen to ask questions and really try to understand what the hurt party is telling us and apologize for that first. It can be very useful to then come back when things are calmer for another conversation and say, you know, there are parts of what you say that I really see differently. Let's say you're talking to your adult daughter. I really get that I ignored you at the time of the divorce with your dad, and I will continue to think about that, and I thank you for your courage in sharing that, but I don't agree that I was responsible for your dad's drinking. That's something I see very differently. I think I was responsible for my own behavior. Your dad's responsible for his behavior. And what is it like for you that we see this very differently? So apologizing, when you apologize, that doesn't mean it's the end of the conversation.
It may be the beginning, actually.
It may be the beginning. Exactly, exactly. The apology lowers the intensity. It changes the emotional climate, and it gives you the best chance of being heard when we do what you're talking about, which is we go back and say, you know, there are some things that I really see differently, and let me share that.
And, you know, one of the examples you gave is daughter and mother. Another example we get a lot is a little bit tougher, actually, and that is daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. And this construct that you gave us, I think, could be very, very useful, because sometimes it's the older adult, the mother-in-law or father-in-law, that has to initiate the conversation. They're usually not yelling at each other. Intimate people yell at each other. Sometimes in-laws, they just don't talk at all. And it seems to me that the hard thing for the older woman or man is to go and apologize for everything at once, when some of those things they actually don't agree with. But if you can unpack this, as we have Dr. Harriet Lerner suggesting to us, Why Won't You Apologize is her fantastic book, and came out last month. It's in Touchstone. Touchstone is the publisher. Of course, it's on Amazon. We'll find other ways to get it in our next segment, when we speak about maybe being ashamed to apologize and how that would work. Because one of the most important things that we know is that shame interferes with things. And, I don't know of any show that really talks about that one issue that touches our hearts. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio.
Yes, and this is Adrian Berg. This is Generation Bold, and this is the Fountain of Truth. And by the way, if there's any issues that you would like discussed, whether they're legal issues, financial issues, health issues, if there's a particular guest, even a celebrity guest, that you would like on our show, it's very easy to let us know because this is your show. You just go to generationboldradio.com, generationboldradio.com. Go to Ask Adrian. It doesn't have to be a question. You can simply give me your thoughts, and we will make sure that it's highlighted on the show. So here we have a celebration. We're celebrating our heart. This is National Heart Healthy Month. And, of course, we're going to have a doctor on. We're going to talk about cardiology and all that good stuff, what you should eat, so on. But right now I think we have something that's just important for our heart than our health, because it really does make us feel stressed when we can't apologize, when we know someone's angry at us, or we're even angry at them. And we have a specialist in this. We have a psychotherapist, Dr. Harriet Lerner. Her book is available in all bookstores. Ask your local bookstore. Go to Amazon. Or simply go to Harriet, H-A-R-R-I-E-T, Lerner.com, and you'll learn all about it. So, Dr. Lerner, I mentioned the word shame because one of the things you do talk about is the non-apologizer. What drives the non-apologizer? And what might be shame? Quick story. I'm ashamed of something. It's a business issue. I went away to Asia for about a month. And before I went, which was in December, I called a client and I said, I'm going to mail something to you. And guess what? When I got back, it was on my desk. Never mailed for a whole month. So I call him up and I pray to get voicemail. It's honest truth. I pray every day. I'm too guilty not to call him, but I call him when
brave of you to call and not text or email. Good for you.
But one
so
day
you call.
He's going to answer that phone, and I'm so ashamed of myself. And that is just a business shame. You can imagine when the shame is real personal and intimate. So there are non-apologizers. What do you make of that, and what's that about, and can we get over it?
Well, shame is a really powerful emotion, and the things that we're most ashamed of, we don't talk about. You know, we won't share, not even with ourselves sometimes. So here's the thing. In order to apologize for something important, a person has to have a big, sturdy platform of self-worth to stand on. From that higher vantage point, they can look out at their mistakes, like the mistake that you made, and they can see that mistake, as bad as they may feel about it, they see it as part of a much bigger, more complex picture of who they are as a human being. Some people, however, and particularly people who do more serious harm, some people stand on a small, rickety platform of self-worth, and they can't let themselves really see the harm that they've done to you. They can't really get it, or listen to your feelings, because to do so would threaten to flip them into an identity of worthlessness or shame. And no one can tolerate that kind of shame. It reminds me of my favorite Peanuts cartoon where Lucy is at her 5-cent psychiatrist little booth, and she says to Charlie Brown, "You know, Charlie Brown, the problem with you is that you're you." And Charlie Brown says, "Well, what am I supposed to do with that?" And Lucy says, "Well, you know, I just diagnose the problem. I don't offer solutions." But the point is that if something threatens to flip, say you're confronting your mom or your dad, your sister, and it just threatens to flip them into an identity of being a bad mother or a bad person, they, you know, defensiveness becomes the place where they live. So you need self-worth. You need self-worth to be able to be honest with yourself. And, of course, we can't be more honest with the other person. No one can be more honest with the other person than we are with our own self.
So if we have a non-apologizer, let's say we're not the non-apologizer. We know we've got
a married one or whatever. Right.
Yeah, so do we just say, all right, they'll never apologize? Do we build their self-confidence even when we're probably angry with them at the moment and we want an apology? How can we lighten our heart when it comes to somebody who's not the apologizer?
Well, I believe that it's worthwhile to use your authentic voice to say what you really think and believe, to give that person a chance to reach for their own competence, to be able to orient towards reality and listen to your feelings. And if you're going to do that, it's important that you don't overload the circuits. I mean, if you parachute down on your family and, you know, you confront an issue with criticism and blame and, you know, you shame the other person, they're going to shut down.
Shut down.
So it's worthwhile to think about how you can share your feelings in a way that maximizes the chances that the non-apologizer is going to hear you. That's one thing. The other thing, though, is that if you're going to confront someone who's really done serious harm to you, it's important to understand that you're probably not going to get the apology that you long for and you deserve. And that has nothing to do with how much your mother or father loved you. It has to do with how much self-worth, that platform of self-worth that they have to, that they stand on. And we can't give that self-worth. We can't bestow it on anybody except ourselves. And that's hard enough. So if you are going to speak to a non-apologizer in your life, do it because you need to hear the sound of your own voice saying the truth about what you really believe, because the apology that you long for probably will not be forthcoming.
And, you know, we have such a short period of time. We're speaking with Dr. Harriet Lerner. I want you to all know about her book, Why Won't You Apologize? The Dance of Anger is another one of her books. And you get them on Amazon. You could get it on harrietlerner.com. We'll learn more. But we have 2 seconds for you to tell me something that I am just so interested in hearing. What is the one simple sentence that will teach children to apologize?
When they do apologize, even if you've had to say, you know, you're not going out until you apologize, when they apologize, The simple sentence is to say thank you for the apology and stop there. No more
lecturing. Well, thank you all for being here, and thank you, Dr. Byrne. I will be back. I'm going to fix your heart. Don't you go anywhere.
For my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC32.
Biz Talk Radio.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Yeah, because maybe he's in denial. He sees hair on his head and not his shoulders. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And, yeah, among that, what you're hearing in the background is Dr. Leonard Kaminsky. He's the John and Janice Fisher Distinguished Professor of Wellness and Exercise Science. You didn't know there was such a thing, right, folks? At Ball State University. And he's going to talk about something that we are not aware of, that we should all be aware of, and it's time to be aware of. And that is this incredible connection between our longevity, our heart, our respiratory system, and why we know so little about it. I'm just going to introduce this guest by saying that at NYU there is a wonderful weekend. It's called the Science Weekend. And you can go and you can learn anything from the biology of birds to outer space. I went to the longevity presentations, and the professors there looked at us, the scientists looked at us and said one thing, Dr. Kaminsky. They said, longevity, longevity, you're all going to die of a heart attack. That was the first thing that came out of their mouth, and I became aware of that incredible connection between longevity and what you talk about. So let's get right down to it. You are hoping that we will begin to measure and pay attention to certain bodily functions and organs. Explain your mission when it comes to our understanding our longevity, heart, and respiratory system.
Okay, very good. Well, yes, the key measure that we are promoting, and I'm part of a group that recently published a position statement in the American Heart Association Journal, and the variable that we think is very important is called cardiorespiratory fitness. And what cardiorespiratory fitness, or we could just use the term fitness from here on, it'd be much simpler to just say fitness, is really it's a measure of the overall functional ability of the body. And the real, I think, value of this one measure that really expresses why it's so important is cardiorespiratory fitness is actually made up of or derived from the key organ systems in the body. So obviously the heart pumping blood to all the different tissues and organs in the body, the lungs bringing oxygen in from this atmosphere as we're breathing it, which then gets into the blood that the heart's pumping and gets circulated to those organs and systems. And then what do we need to function? We need our muscles to be able to function. So it's really supplying those muscles with the oxygen or energy they need to be able to power the activities that we choose to do. So this one measure encompasses all three of those major organ systems, and it does it in kind of this interactive way that it's really just a fascinating thing when you break it down to look at it that way.
So, you know, things become fashionable. Like there was a time that nobody ever heard of their body mass index, the BMI. Mm-hmm. Now everybody, they don't want to know how much they weigh. They want to know their BMI. You think this will be something like that to physically measure our fitness? Is it going to catch on? And can we find out from our doctor? How come we don't know this? We know our temperature, our blood pressure. We know if we have a blood pressure problem. Why is it under the radar when it seems to be our whole system?
Yeah, well, certainly I do think it is one that will hopefully in the very near future become commonplace in clinical practice. So as we as patients go to see our doctor, hopefully just for a checkup, but even if we're having some other problems, this would be something that would be routinely assessed by them. You know, the answer to the question why physicians don't do this is, it's as simple as they don't get trained to do this in medical school. You know, unfortunately, they don't get trained in a lot of lifestyle-related things, and the two primary lifestyle-related things that affect our health the most are how we move. So our physical activity and our exercise habits, you know, they don't have any training in that. And then, you know, what do we consume as far as our dietary habits? So they get little, if any, training in that. And that's not in any discredit. They've got wonderful things they do and get trained in. It's just not been a part of their regular training. And that is starting to evolve and change, too, where more and more medical schools are starting to look at these options and the importance of lifestyle behaviors for health. So hopefully in the future they'll get that as part of their training and then start seeing that as something that they need to be communicating with their patients about.
So at this time, though, let's say, you know, many of my listeners are on Medicare. They're 65 or older. Almost all of them mm-hmm. take very good care of themselves. They do get checkups mm-hmm. constantly. Can they ask for this measure? And if they do ask for it, how does the doctor get that measure?
Okay. Well, you know, hopefully their doctors are talking to them. If they're asking about what can I do to stay healthy and live a longer and a good functioning life, have a good quality of life while I'm still on this earth, hopefully they're talking to them about, you know, some dietary habits and physical activity habits. And one other key to think about with this measure we're talking about, fitness, is physical activity is the behavior we practice. So do we choose today to get up and move about or maybe take a walk or get on a cycle and take a ride to get some exercise? You know, that's a behavior that is what fitness is. It's the measure of that. You know, how is the body responding and how capable is it? So, you know, I think that's another key distinction that needs to be worked in. And hopefully, so the physician's talking about their physical activity, hopefully, and then the next step would be, how is this physical activity affecting me? And that's the outcome measure of fitness. Right now, what we have, through evidence that's been accumulated through the years, are advocating is that there is a good, simple way to estimate this fitness variable. And it could be estimated from things that our doctors have as a regular part of the checkup that they would have with people coming in. And kind of the principal things are certainly our age and gender are going to be part of that prediction. But beyond that, what is our body weight? Maybe if they get a little more sophisticated with that and measure our waist circumference, which is a good predictor of potential health outcomes. Some of the predictions have a resting heart rate and a resting blood pressure that are factored into that, which, again, at any checkup that we go to, they would have that. So the best thing that we would advocate for is that all these things that are typical measures that are already in the medical system kind of just be programmed into that electronic medical record, into this equation. And so as the physician's entering all the basic information they get on the patient, it would then pop up this estimated fitness value, and it would be right there for them to be able to communicate to their patient.
So actually what I'm hearing is it's a compendium of fairly logical things. Your age,
yes.
Your gender, your blood pressure, maybe you say very interestingly, not so much your body type, the amount of fat that's around the organ, so that would be measured by your middle, what we might call your gut.
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
all of this is put in a formula that your group recommends. And we could see if we're improving or if we're deproving with age. But it seems to me then that the next question is, even without that measure, what I'm hearing from you is that you can improve this part of your system, the respiratory and heart circulation, through exercise and through nutrition, which is what we hear all the time anyway about longevity.
Right.
But you're really saying that there's a very big nexus between how we function from that point of view and our longevity. Have there been studies that show that? Or, you know, as I said, that scientist who looked at us and said, you're all going to die of a heart attack. Is that the predominant reason that we pass away? Is that right?
Yes, certainly cardiovascular disease is still the number one cause of death in the Western world. So that is true when they make that statement. Unfortunately, that's true. We're all going to die of something. The mortality rate's still 100%. And cardiovascular disease is a big driver. You know, interestingly, with this fitness variable, when you look at other diseases beyond cardiovascular disease, so you start looking at cancer, respiratory disease, some of the others, this fitness variable is also very highly associated with all those different causes of death. So, in fact, most of the studies will actually break it down with an all-cause of death versus specific disease-specific causes of death, and fitness is kind of equally associated with all those. The other thing I would suggest is that when you compare the value of fitness to other kind of major traditional risk factors, so those being, you know, what is your cholesterol level, what's your blood pressure, do you smoke cigarettes, all those traditional things we know are not good for our health. Fitness is as strong, if not stronger, of a predictor than all those things.
Than even smoking. Well, we're going to take a little. We could talk about those studies. We're going to take a little bit of a break now. And I know that Alzheimer's is also in that list that you mentioned that's very much affected by fitness. And people may be surprised that fitness is up there and maybe above smoking even for your longevity. All this, Dr. Kaminsky and his group have put together for the professionals, and we're bringing it to you here so that your awareness is really heightened when it comes to this. And maybe you can talk to your doctors about it. When we come back, we're going to find out what you can personally do in the arena of fitness and nutrition, and about a registry that Dr. Kaminsky is pushing for, and I think he's going to get it. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-973-5533. That's 800-973-5533. Call 800-973-5533 today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Biz Talk Radio.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg. We are back with Generation Bold and Dr. Leonard Kaminsky. He's a fellow of the American Heart Association, the American College of Sports Medicine, American Association of Cardiovascular and Pulmonary Rehabilitation. But it's a short show. I can't tell you everything that he does. And John and Janice Fisher, Distinguished Professor of Wellness and Exercise Science at Ball State University. And he's telling us about a measure of health that really he calls total fitness. That we are not getting a measure of from our doctors. Hopefully, with all the, that he's publishing in the field, we will soon be hearing about it more. It's going to become old hat. We're going to ask about our blood pressure. We're going to also ask about this new measure of fitness. But right now, we reintroduce Dr. Kaminsky because he was very clear. This also can be enhanced. The power of this, which has to do with your longevity, not just from heart disease, but Alzheimer's and so many other measures, can be enhanced with exercise and nutrition. But what kind of exercise and what kind of nutrition? So we throw that back to you, Doctor. What do you recommend at this point for people to, just from their lifestyle, improve their cardiovascular respiratory fitness?
Well, that's the one I love talking about because it's so easy. It's really, our bodies were designed to move, and the more we move, as long as it's something moving to get the heart pumping some blood. So simple activities, even what people might enjoy or be very capable of doing, getting out and just walking. You know, walking itself can do wonders for this. You know, if you want to keep advancing from that, so what we typically advocate people who've not been doing much activity at all, start with something simple, and the walking exercise is one. You know, if you have access to kind of exercise machines, sitting on an exercise cycle, you know, is another great way, or if you can cycle outdoors, that's a great way. So simple things that just get your body moving can do that. But as you start improving a little bit, if you want to continue improving, then certainly you need to start doing it a little bit longer, or, you know, probably the most important thing would be trying to work a little bit harder. You don't have to, you know, really work at the top level. You don't have to maximally exert yourself. But if you push yourself a little bit, so you start breathing a little bit harder, you know, working up a little bit of a sweat, that is called intensity of exercise, and that's a key variable to help you push that fitness a little bit higher.
All right, and of course, nutrition. I guess it's the same old story. You have your very good proteins, your good carbs, and watch your weight. But you were very clear. You were talking
exactly
about a measurement, the middle measurement. I was interested in that. It's not just the weight; it's where the weight is. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it's called abdominal obesity, and sometimes they put it in descriptive terms like an apple-shaped versus a pear-shaped person. But it's that weight that we carry around our waist. And if you have excess weight there, and, you know, the excess weight means you have more fat tissue, that fat tissue is very active, meaning it gets into your circulation. Now it's carrying all these blood fats throughout the circulation, putting different places in the body. So it's just, it's a very bad place to carry extra weight, and that is very highly associated with it. And the good news is if you start doing these lifestyle things, you know, practicing regular physical activity, exercise, and watching your diet a little bit, that's an area that can improve fairly quickly.
That's wonderful. Now, there is a way for you guys to measure what Dr. Kaminsky is talking about. There is an online measuring tool that was created by his team, and the website is very long, and I'm going to ask him to tell. He's going to read it right off his page there, as he did with me. But we are going to have that on our website, and that's an easy one. That's generationboldradio.com. So if you're listening to this and you're concerned and you want to see how you measure up with total fitness of this type, listen to this website, take it down. If you can't or you're in the car, go to generationboldradio.com starting Wednesday of next week, and you're going to see it there on the home page. So Dr. Kaminsky, tell people how they can get this this measuring tool right now.
Okay, and I certainly want to give credit to my colleague, Dr. Ulrich Wisloff, and his group over in Norway who've created this. So the website, www.ntnu.edu/CERG/VO2MAX.
It wasn't quite as bad as I thought, so say it one more time.
Okay, www.ntnu.edu/CERG/VO2MAX, and the two is the numerical two.
So we thank you for that, because this is a show that promotes longevity. It promotes successful aging. There's very few shows about it anywhere, actually, in the United States, considering the amount of people we're talking about, and that the fastest-growing demographic are people over the age of 85. So we're here not just to be entertaining, although I hope every once in a while we're entertaining, but really to make changes in people's lives. So I appreciate you giving us that website. I know for sure we'd never be able to find it without you, and it will be on generationboldradio.com. All right, now let's get back to this registry. You're really pulling for something. And I read this incredible article, the AHA policy statement you were making, the importance of a cardiorespiratory fitness in the United States, the need for a national registry. I'm not sure we even know what a national registry is and why we need it. So explain this to us.
Sure. You know, when we start accumulating evidence in science and clinical practice, we need to know, you know, are there certain thresholds or numbers that are important? So like for our blood pressure, we know if our blood pressure is greater than 140 over 90, or if our LDL cholesterol is greater than 100. Unfortunately, we haven't had that with the fitness measures. So our group has been working on developing this, and we've kind of developed an acronym for it. We call it the FREND Registry, which is the Fitness Registry of the Importance of Exercise National Registry. And so, you know, what we have developed with this is we've got laboratories and clinics all throughout the country, and now we're starting to expand internationally, that have been making this measure. And we're actually pulling all this together in one site where we can now start getting what would be the threshold for what's important with this fitness measure. The good news is all the studies that have been done with individual groups have shown, regardless of how they've measured it, the lower your fitness, the more at risk you are. But what we're trying to get to is what is that actual threshold number for each person? Because it will change as we get older, and it's certainly a little bit different between men and women. So we're just trying to put all that together to have that available.
Well, this is wonderful. And, of course, we've come to the end of it. So get out there, kids, and make it happen.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,